not very soon, he will be asked, will you endorse the nominee of the Democratic Party if it's Hillary Clinton? And if he says no, he may be actually kept off the debates. The debates are controlled by a corporation known as the Democratic Party. They kept Dennis Kucinich off some of the debates. It's completely within their power to do that.
Did you have any discussions with him about that that choice, and did you give him any advice?
Bernie Sanders does not answer my calls. 15 years, he's never answered a telephone call, never replied to a letter, never replied to a meeting that I want to go down and see him. I even had to write an article on this called Bernie, We Thought We Knew Ye. One of the problems he's going to face, other than his good graces in Vermont, is that he doesn't have good political antennae. He doesn't have political social graces, and he's going to have to change that. And a lot of his friends have told me that that's a problem. But most progressive senators don't really respond to any progressive group that tries to push them to do more than they want to do. I wrote 9 letters to 9 progressive senators like Sherrod Brown, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, and saying, look, you're all lone rangers doing good things, but you're going nowhere. So why don't you get together into a caucus of 9, 10, 12 senators in the Senate and push a unified agenda on poverty, on labor, on the environment, on trade, on military policy. You might really get somewhere. At the least, you'll raise these issues more prominently. Not a single response. Called up, said, would they respond? Not a single response. I did finally have to go down and meet with the general counsel for Senator Warren. But by and large, that's the problem of the left. That's the problem of progressives. They don't link with one another. You never see Heritage Foundation or CATA or all these right-wing groups tolerate members of Congress treating them that way who are supposed to be on their side.
Ralph Nader, Bernie Sanders tweeted on Thursday that he looked forward to debating Clinton on, quote, the big issues, income inequality, climate change, and getting big money out of politics. Hillary Clinton had tweeted in response to him announcing for presidency, the first formal Democratic candidate against her. She wrote, I agree with Bernie. Focus must be on helping America's middle class. GOP would hold them back. I welcome him to the race. Your response?
Well, he's got a very good 12-point program, which I'm sure he's going to talk about all over the country. And you can see what Hillary's response and strategy is going to be. She is going to agree with him on a general basis. Like, yes, we should have better wages for the American people. She's going to try to neutralize him. She's going to try to, appear like she is going along with progressive policies. His counter strategy's got to be very specific. Okay, Hillary Clinton, do you support a Wall Street transaction tax? There are sales taxes on necessities of life all over the United States, 6-8%, but there's not a penny sales tax if someone today buys $100 billion worth or $100 million worth of ExxonMobil derivatives. Well, that will really get it specific. So he cannot allow her to generalize agreement with him to try to neutralize him.
Ralph, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned that all of these progressive senators don't respond to your letters. Obviously, the presidents don't respond to your letters. But one person did respond to one of your letters, Michelle Obama. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, this is a very important letter that I wrote. I wrote it actually 3 times. You read about President Obama going to chambers of commerce, going to business gatherings all over the country, but he's never addressed the voluntary nonprofit sector, the groups that deal with charity, deal with children's needs, environment, labor groups, religious groups, groups that are advocacy groups. And when Jimmy Carter was elected president, we gathered 1,000 of these leaders who have millions of members, like the National Council of Churches. They have have a lot of members around the country, or labor unions, et cetera, in a hotel about two blocks from the White House. And it was a very successful meeting with Jimmy Carter. And it raised the profile of these groups. So I wrote these letters to Barack Obama saying, why don't you do that? It's just two blocks away, logistically very easy. You walked across Lafayette Park to pay homage to the Chamber of Commerce. Why don't you do that? It's not only the right thing to do, but these nonprofit groups have a lot of employees. And if they get more visibility, more charitable contributions, they're going to hire more people. And I tried to appeal to him on a job basis. Well, he never answered. So I sent it over to Michelle's office. And back came a letter basically saying, thank you for doing that, but he's just too busy. He's just too busy to respond to the nonprofit voluntary sector of America that every day keeps his country going.
The former community organizer.
Pardon?
The former community organizer, now president.
Yes, he, of all people, he should have recognized this. He's also an expert in constitutional law, and he has violated the Constitution and federal statutes in terms of his drone warfare and other foreign policies, right and left. You know what the lesson one is? It really doesn't matter. If the power structure persists, it doesn't matter who's in office. It doesn't matter what ethnic, racial background. It doesn't matter how much they know, how much they don't know. They're all molded by the corporate power structure that controls Washington from Wall Street, to use a symbolic tour.
Ralph, I wanted to ask you about the issue of empire, which you mentioned that even progressive like Bernie Sanders doesn't want to question. We have a president who was elected to office as a candidate of peace, of ending the wars in Afghanistan and in Iraq. He pulled the ground troops out, but he has expanded air wars in Yemen, in Pakistan, in Libya, and in Syria. So your assessment of this issue of how President Obama has done with the question of empire?
Well, he's expanded it. He's basically broken every international law relating to national sovereignties. He's broken some of the Geneva Conventions, all of which the U.S. is a signatory to U.N. charters. No wars are permitted under international law and the U.N. Charter unless they're for strictly defensive purposes. And obviously, we attacked Iraq that never threatened us, and we're attacking all kinds of other areas around the world. But what are we getting for it? We're getting a massive proliferation of violent groups, offshoots, and sub-offshoots of Al-Qaeda. There are so many of these groups in Africa and Asia, spreading Southeast Asia, that the Pentagon's having trouble indexing them. But they have all this kill list, of course, every Tuesday in the White House. And what people in this country don't understand is that the drones may take a few dozen lives here and a few dozen lives there. But when you're living, when millions of people in Asia and Africa are living under drones, they hear that whine 24 hours a day. It's terror. It's horror. They don't know whether their homes are going to be blown up from this lightning bolt from the sky. And then we wonder why people are hating us and want to do us in. And it's only a matter of time as we push these fighters to become more skilled, more bold, greater in numbers. It's only a matter of time when the suicide belts are coming to this country. And our country is totally unable to withstand preservation of its civil liberties and democracy with these attacks. And the whole process of democratic processes, allocation of public budgets, we completely turned upside down in this country with a couple violent terrorist attacks.
Ralph Nader, would you like to read one of your favorite letters that didn't get a response in your new book, Return to Sender, Unanswered Letters to the President, 2001 to 2015? And again, if you can talk in prefacing it about why you actually think letters are important. What is this tradition of letters you're talking about? Why is this the form that you feel is important to communicate with the president?
Well, because it's totally under control of the citizenry to write what he or she believes elected officials should listen to. When I was a child, a youngster, I read the Adams Jefferson letters, and I read the later I read the Holmes Lasky letters, and I liked the personal nature of it, the initiatory nature of it, the command of the writer. I used letters years ago to make a lot of news. The press would look at a letter and say, does it say something important? Is it newsworthy? Who does it go to? And when these letters were publicized in the press, members of Congress couldn't ignore the issue. They often would have congressional hearings. So now what are we left with? A few giant media conglomerates dominating everything. A little indie media, Democracy Now, Pacifica. What are we really left with for people to breathe and to have a voice? And so that's why I wanted President Bush and Obama to address large gatherings of citizen groups in Washington, make it easy for them, who represent the felt necessities of our time, whether it's dealing with poverty, bigotry, whether it's dealing with education, whether it's dealing with environment, consumer protection, the integrity of government, integrity of elections. So in one of the letters, I'll read just an excerpt. In 2009 and again in 2011, I wrote to urge you, President Obama, to address a large gathering in a convenient Washington venue for the leaders of nonprofit civic organizations with tens of millions of members throughout the United States. Not receiving a reply, I sent my request to First Lady Michelle Obama, whose assistant replied saying you were too busy. You were, however, not too busy to address many business groups and also to walk over to the oppositional U.S. Chamber of Commerce across from the White House. Well, it is the second term, and such a civic gathering could be scheduled at your convenience.
That's Ralph Nader reading from a letter he wrote to President Obama. It's one of the many letters he features in his new book called Return to Sender, Unanswered Letters to the President, 2001 to 2015. You can watch part one of the interview and the rest of his reading at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is openings for video production fellowships July 1st. Go to democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
And coming up next on Free Radio, it is Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. What's the date today? It is the 21st of May, and we're in 2015, so don't go away.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you. Sing me of wars and sing me of bread lines. Tell me of front page news. Sing me of strikes and last minute headlines. Dress your observation in syncopation. Sing me a song with social significance. There's nothing else that will do. It must get hot with what is what, or I won't love you. Want a song that's satirical, putting the mirror into miracle. special. Tell me of mills and mines. Sing me of courts that aren't impartial. What's to be done with them? Tell me in rhythm. Sing me a song with social significance. There's nothing else that will do. It must be tense with common sense, or I won't love you.
Yeah, that was Pins and Needles again. That's our theme song, and good evening. I'm Robert. This is Bathrop Spears Broadsides. In the studio with me is Doc Mike, who also does a show on free radio, and is also a client out there at the Homeless Homeless Lack of Services Center, as I call it, or the Homeless Services Center, as Mayor Don Lane called it yesterday when I ran into him at the Public Works street closure, where they had a big publicity shindig for the Public Works Department. That's the group that's setting up a 24-hour parking ban on homeless vehicles. You may remember I've talked about this in my past shows. I'm going to be playing some audio from that afternoon yesterday. Not as exciting as I'd hoped, not as confrontational as it should be, but perhaps a bit of information slips in here and there. So, to finish up what I was doing on Thursday, I was playing some speakers from the Homeless Lives Matter protest that we had at the Food Not Bombs meal last Saturday. And didn't quite get a chance to finish it. I'm going to finish it now. I'll repeat a little bit of what we did. We're going to begin with the end of the speech by activist Becky Johnson, the Beggarbacker, Becky, as I call her, in a friendly way. If you have any thoughts that you want to pass on, if you have any questions, if you have any comments, if you have any gripes, whatever, you can call 427-3772. That's the call-in number here, 427-3772. If you want to catch me off air, it's the Huff Line, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. And, yeah, that's what you can do. And as for, the regular announcements, yes, we're still looking for a transmitter site, a place where we can set up the transmitter when we get bounced out of the current place where it's foreclosed on, but they haven't moved in the sheriff yet, so there's that to be said. But it's tricky and uncertain. So if you have any thoughts about a place where you might be able to let us set up our transmitter tower, which isn't very tall, but is an antenna, in the Santa Cruz area, give me a call on the Huff Line, 423-HUFF, or contact freakradio.org. That's where we stream. It's also the website where you can find all kinds of stuff relating to free radio, such as schedules and some archives with some shows and downloadable forms if you want to apply. And if you also want to, announce you're having a furniture giveaway or an equipment giveaway, you can let us know where it is. We can come and pick up stuff because we need stuff for the studio of an electronic nature. I'm not quite sure what we need, but we have a huge collection of vinyl here, which I never use, and very few broadcasters may, but some do. And even tapes, of course, have gone the way, and probably CDs are heading out, too. It's going to be Audiophile City at this station, probably like elsewhere. But we always need help, and we appreciate it when you provide it. I appreciate when you call in with any news, updates, information, comments. My show is primarily concerned with civil rights issues, or what would be issues if anybody cared about them in Santa Cruz. I'm not trying to be cynical or sarcastic, perhaps a bit, but simply realistic, and to say that we have most people have full plates, or their focus is elsewhere, or they are kind of jiving along with the rhythm of the moment, which is that, as long as you got your head above water and, can amuse yourself, then we can kind of ignore the sounds of the cries of pain from across the way. I do it. I don't think it's an unnatural thing to do. I think we, you know, it's a hard thing, but I think that there are some issues that have been brought to the fore by the Black Lives Matter movement, the increasing publicity about police violence that's getting uncovered. Of course, the ongoing Obama wars or Congress wars or U.S. imperial wars, wherever you want to, however you want to characterize them, that are devouring, of course, they're devouring foreign people and foreign countries, and it's plunging them into civil war and, you know, causing all kinds of massive homelessness on a scale, if you look at Syria or Iraq, that you can't even, we can't even really conceive of it in a meaningful way here. I can't. I mean, I mostly focus on Santa Cruz because this is where I've been living for the last 25 years. This is where I am. And that's what I address. If I were elsewhere, I'd probably be addressing other issues. And I hope you address them too. That's really what the show is about, is talking about the local stuff. A lot of national pundits on the left, on the right, off to the side are commenting on other issues. You can find a lot of that online. There isn't a lot of people talking about what's going on locally in Santa Cruz. And so that's sort of what I try to do. And what we were trying to do a week ago at the Saturday shindig of Homeless Lives Matter was we were trying to talk about some of those local issues. I think what we're finding here, I thought I had this one pegged, but I think I'm going to have to set it up again. Let's take a musical break, and I'll be back with a follow-up from last week, Sunday, I guess it was, and we'll take it from there.
It's not cricket to pick it, not cricket. Oh no, it's just not coming for to pick it. You haven't any right, you know. You're acting in great haste. Just think of the predicament in which your boss is placed. And entre nous, I think it's in exceedingly bad taste. Not cricket to pick it, not cricket. It's not cricket to pick it, not cricket. Atrocious and gauche, you know, to pick it. Go home and starve like gentlemen, not like a noisy brood. Real ladies never make a fuss, though they lack clothes and food. And money's never talked about, for that would be quite rude. Not cricket to pick it, not cricket. It's not picket to cricket, not picket. Uncultured and unmannerly to picket. You know you're misbehaving now, you mustn't lose your mind. You're being so inelegant and frankly quite unkind. Excuse my indiscretion, but you're all donned and refined. Not picket to cricket, not picket. It ain't ticket to stick it, not pick it. Now, officer, did each man there a cricket? Oh, dear, where is your decency? No Vanderbilts or Astors would ask in such a vulgar way, befitting only dastards. I beg you, get the hell away, you lousy bunch of... What do you mean, disturbing the peace? Come with you, officer, you're bruising my bang. Get your hands...
Not cricket to picket. And actually, Hufsters were given the threat of getting a heave-ho off the closed-off street the other day at the Public Works Fair when we were there setting up a table and petitioning against the Public Works attempt to establish the first ever 24-hour ban on homeless parking, actually on all public parking, on the three streets around the Homeless Lack of Services Center, Coral, Fern, and Limekiln. So we were, in our own way picketing, and they felt it wasn't cricket for us to picket. And we said, stick it. So let's listen to this. This is a discussion of the police budget in Santa Cruz, most of which I played before 4 days ago on the Sunday show. And you can always go download that show if you want. If you want to hear more about it, on the Huff website, huffsantacruz.org. But let's hear what we missed, or what hasn't been done yet.
Those statistics, too.
Is this about that, Jim? Because you let him interrupt briefly.
Well, let me just finish. Here's the budget.
Oh, wait.
$24,663,471. That's 32% of the budget of the general fund for Santa Cruz for police. It's by far the largest budget item in the city. I suggest that as a way to rein in police, let's go for their budget. They don't need 99 sworn officers. They probably don't need 85, given Palo Alto. And they don't need every new little toy, ATV and mobile office and target practicing range in their basement. They don't need that. Not at our expense, not in a situation where we've got a dropping crime rate and where homeless people are being arrested for sleeping. Okay, that's it.
Jim? Go ahead, Jim.
Regarding the so-called sleeping ban, every night there's a gentleman right in front of, by the one existing water fountain left. He sleeps on that bench every night. And behind him there's another guy. I submit to you that if there's no complaint, if you're not bothering anyone, there is no sleeping ban in this city.
Yeah, that's not my experience, Jim, but I hear you.
I just wanted to tell you what I see every night.
I understand, and I appreciate that.
The past 2 years, a guy sleeping on a bench, he's never been cited.
They might like him.
And the cops drive by him. They might like him. Is that supposed to be funny?
No, that's supposed to be how things actually operate in this city.
I beg your pardon.
Okay. I've seen the
And regarding the dropping crime rate, a man was shot to death on that corner about a month ago. There's random gunfire all over down. Can I finish my fucking sentence without being interrupted? May I?
You interrupt people, too, and you don't have a problem.
I'm going to finish my sentence, regardless of what everyone says.
Go ahead, Jim.
The crime rate, the violent gunshot. If a policeman has to draw his weapon and shoot, I want him to be accurate. So I don't have a problem with the firing range downstairs. They need to be accurate. Against an armed man, and they often face an armed man. Have you ever faced an armed man? I have.
Thank you, Jim.
For what?
For saying what you said. Is that good enough? Go ahead.
Hi.
I think we should wear masks and march the streets.
Can I just say something?
Down the government.
Okay, Kip, she wants to say about the public, then you're next.
Okay, so I have a car, and I feel lucky to do that, only I can't enjoy it. I parked in front of the Center in front of the church and the Boys and Girls Club there, and the families were calling the police because my windows were shady, so I was trying to take a nap there because I locked myself out of my car the night before I got here. And so today I'm not feeling well, and I can't, my car is parked at the homeless service center, and we cannot hang around in our cars either there. So it's like I don't have a place to really rest, not in the streets, not in my own car. So it is a big issue.
You want to say who you are?
My name is Lucero Luna.
Thank you, Lucero Luna.
And the police went today to the homeless service center, and they saw my military whatever posters and anti-police posters, and they had a laugh.
There you go. Thank you. Kip, you get to talk to a diminishing number, but still a few people.
I just want to announce there's going to be A rally on Saturday, next Saturday at Cal's Beach. It's going to be for solitary confinement, with 42% of the homeless people in this city accounting for the entire jail population, and with six people having died in that jail due to the private medical care in 2014. This is a related issue, and it's a related issue where people can come together. You've seen Huff is an imperfect machine, but it's full of dedicated individuals who are working for your civil rights. And Simbaras is another organization working for our civil rights on the jail side of things. So if we can come together and bring music, there's going to be free food there. Bring music, bring your expression, bring your talents, bring your opinions, and bring what you have to say, and show numbers for them and in support of them. And then we can coalesce our numbers. On June 20th, there's going to be another rally in San Lorenzo Park that I'll keep you guys updated on, and this is an environmentalist rally. So when the homeless people in this town are being blamed as the producers of the trash in this town, it's time for the homeless people to come together with the environmentalists and say, we're the ones who aren't contributing to the destruction of the environment. This is what we stand for, and we form a coalition with them as well. And that's what I have planned moving forward. So, yeah.
Cool. Also, thank you, Kip.
I want to bring up something. Matt. If you get a ticket and you want help with going to the courthouse to get it taken care of, because a lot of times you can just sign up for community service, and we know different places that will do it, MHCAN, Food Not Bombs. There's another one I know of somebody. Because they don't tell you where to go or what to do or what your rights are, that somebody from Huff would be very happy to meet you over there and help you take care of these things. And I just want to say we're here because some of us are in the same situation with our civil rights being violated. And if we all come together like a wall of power, the more people we have, the stronger we are.
Unity now!
Yeah.
You're here.
So I just wanted to put that out. And I've given out my name and number if you have any civil rights advocacy problems. I've gone to bat with someone with animal services about their dog. I mean, I've taken on emergency room doctors. My brother has too. County doctors. Anywhere, you know, there's someone not giving you the same rights as any other person, I call them out. My brother and I call them out on them. They need to be called out.
And if anybody wants a card, I do a radio show, and this is all going to be played probably tomorrow morning and maybe Thursday night. This card gives you the schedule and also the schedule of Huff meetings, which looks like most everybody here knows about already. But if anybody wants a card, raise your hand. You can have one. There you go. Anybody else want to talk?
I'll be in contact with Kip.
Any other thoughts? Anybody want
to? Yeah, I'd like to ask a question. Just worried about some. You were mentioning about like that the possibility that some people are getting camping tickets. Is that camping in a tent on private property?
Camping means
city limits.
Camping means inside the city, falling asleep after 11 o'clock at night, anywhere on any public property. It means after 11 o'clock at night, falling asleep in your vehicle in the city. It means intending to remain overnight and setting up a campsite, which can be something as if you tell the cop, I'm intending to be here overnight, which you shouldn't do, that's also a camping ticket. There are other laws in the county that prohibit or make it difficult to sleep. There is a roadside resting law that allows you to rest briefly if you're a motorist passing through.
12 hours of rest area.
There are no rest areas, though, specifically in Santa Cruz. So, yeah, it's a little vague outside the county, or I'm a little vague on it. Any hassles or tickets with you and your pooch here?
No, not at all. We've been gone for a couple months, but still, just coming back, it's good. You know, I haven't, we've only been here 3 days, but still we're trying to feel it out again, and I've noticed that.
Name of your dog?
Loki.
Hey, Loki.
And you want to say who you are? You don't have to.
I'm River Wolf. Been here for a little while.
Thank you, River Wolf.
Since 1985. But the rest of the story was I was trying to, don't mean to be so scattered. I'm residentially challenged myself and living in my vehicle. And, I'm a little bit, you know, I try to be skeptical about where to park because I want to avoid the camping tickets, but how much are they if you get one?
$157.
And can you fight that? So.
Yes, the way you fight a camping ticket before you get them, go out to the Homeless Lack of Services Center, 115 Coral Street. They call themselves the Homeless Services Center.
Right.
Sign up for one of their lists for either the Pauley Loft or the River Street Shelter. Then get documentation that you're on their list. That supposedly immunizes you from camping tickets in the city, although they will still ticket you and then tell you they'll dismiss them. So you got to keep an eye on what they're doing. If you haven't signed up and you got a ticket before that you signed up, go out there and ask for a letter from the management stating that their shelter was full on that night. If they refuse to give you one, contact Huff. That's the group that's on this card.
I do have one. You're crossing way back. Yeah, this is River Wolf. Yeah, so I've been trying to get. Do you got a minute for this, bro?
A little bit. Yeah.
So I've been trying to figure out the mechanics of this because it seems like in my situation, a few months ago I had a much nicer rig, and it seemed like it was not. You know, not as intimidating, but now this was a little bit more raggedy of a car, and I almost feel like, you know, I know it's not the car you drive, it's the person that's in the car. Though still, I seem to get profiled by my rig.
And how has that happened recently?
I get it mostly from people that really don't live here, because if they do see the car, then they'll see the Santa Cruz bumper stickers and say they'll know that it's just a long time old.
Have you been profiled in Santa Cruz recently for this? You've only been back 3 days, right?
No, it's a beach cruiser, it's a surf cruiser.
Right.
No, I haven't been profiled, but what it isn't me, it's the yuppies, bro. It's the yuppies. So it's like I don't know how deep to get into the
Let's do it another time because I'm seeing other people I want to talk to. But again, I appreciate, you know, what you're saying. We'll be playing it on the radio, and again, we've been talking with
King Gadid Man, 911.
Yabul. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Hey, bro.
Dishwasher at Food Not Bond. What's your name, sir?
My name is Rabino Felipe.
And Felipe...
Rabbi Phil.
Yeah, Rabbi Phil. You're a man who I understand is working on a thing called the Camp of Last Resort. We've heard nothing from you for the last 2 months. I understand you've decamped the country, and now you've returned.
Es porque yo estaba en Mexico.
In Mexico. So, well, I suppose it's cheaper down. Is that you suggesting that the homeless here move to Mexico?
No, yo estoy diciendo que yo estaba en Mexico, y eso es porque usted no me oye de...
That's what we heard from you because you've been in Mexico, correct? But now that you're back, and could you please speak Spanish? I don't want to hear any of this American white gringo talk, if you don't mind.
Yes,
vamos a hablar en español.
I thought I was speaking English.
You were, actually. Let's turn to English, though, just for these poor Spanish deprived.
Let's go to Spanish. So we were in Mexico, and now we're back. And what's happening now is that Steve Fleisch and I, hopefully this week, are starting to meet with individual council people.
Okay, so what you can do is...
What about Jeanette Shoemaker, who's going to give you a permit for your famous protest camp that never happened?
Yes. We're hoping.
Hope reigns eternal, or infernal, as the case may be. So you're going to be meeting with council members. That's any organizing happening on the streets? I remember seeing you out there fighting the anti-homeless laws that limit the display devices on...
Well, as we've said to the public, and that is that we're hoping that city council, by some wonderful miracle, will approve...
Religious conversion?
Approve the large camp
payoff.
Of last resort. But if not, at that point, we then plan to work with wonderful people like you to get the masses out to have a series of park outs.
2019 or thereabouts.
We will...
Well, you know, Huff already has 7 sites picked for such a camp out, and we thought that we could go to one site, and then when we got kicked out, we'd just go to the next one on the list.
And you're listening to a dialogue at the last, Saturday Food Not Bombs meal between Phil Posner, who has been circulating a petition for a camp of last resort, which he also approached head of the Parks and Rec Department about hopefully getting a permit. He hoped to get a permit to do a protest there. And he and Plaich, or at least Plaich, Steve Plaich, was optimistic about it, or at least he said she didn't immediately turn it down. I found doesn't seem to be a chance in hell she'll grant it when I talk to her, although she would not explicitly come out and say that she would attempt to block it. I think she said something that would be up to the city council, which it always is. Parks and Rec can, in theory, be overruled by the city council. Rarely is, of course, but that can happen. So, yeah, the Phil Posner was going to do this. The idea of having a camp somewhere where homeless people could go and sleep temporarily and not be subjected to sleeping ban tickets, even though you heard Leather Lungs' Jim Purcell. He was the fellow who was talking about how only the only people harassed are those who are causing trouble. And there's a fellow on Pacific Avenue who never gets a ticket. He said both those things and give the police a shooting range so they can shoot more accurately when they're dealing with the many gun situations that happen in Santa Cruz. I just don't agree with them. But, you know, the issue of people coming together to have some solidarity and acknowledging and demanding the community acknowledge that they have basic needs, and one of which is to sleep. And to do that, Posner's proposal, and that's he's the father of Councilmember Mouse Voice Micah Posner, who's on the city council. I call him Mouse Voice. He doesn't call himself that. He talked about doing this. Phil talked about doing this sometime in May. Well, May is almost over. And he's talking about pushing it up a few months. And, you know, one always operates from now. But when you are operating from now, you also take into account what was said and whether it actually happened. And if it didn't happen, you might wonder, why should you believe it's any more likely to happen in a few months, as it was predicted it would happen a few months ago? And anyway, so that's sort of who's talking here now. Let's hear a little bit more of this exchange, and then perhaps your phone calls, 427-3772.
And keep going, and then, you know.
You mean when we have the demonstrations?
Well, we don't have a campground for homeless people right now, and we really need one.
I know that.
I know you've been working on that, and you've been trying to do that through the system in legally ways. And at some point, you may come to the point where it's time.
I totally agree with you.
Just skip that and deal with the human need at hand.
I totally agree with you. At that point, that's when we will ask all of us to get together to do what you just said.
We'll return in several years and talk to you again when this is gone.
And I think probably we're talking within a couple of months. If we haven't succeeded within a couple of months, then we'll.
We'll come to a Huff meeting, and we'll show you our seven sites that we think were entirely suitable tonight.
We will huff and puff.
We'll blow the house down.
And drink coffee as well. Okay. We've been talking with
Rabino Felipe.
Gracias, Señor Felipe. And what's your name, madam?
Becky.
Thank you, Becky.
Dan Huff, for those who just tuned in, does meet every Wednesday. Has been meeting at the Sub Rosa Cafe. We met at the Bagelery yesterday. Sub Rosa wasn't open because one of the members there was, gone on leave. But it's usually open on Wednesdays, or has been for Huff. You can find us there at 11 o'clock. If we are not there, you'll see a little sign indicating what nook we have retired to. Huff is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. And we are impromptu raisers of issues around homeless civil rights that need to be raised and don't seem to be raised by anyone else, sadly enough.
Rachel got here.
Oh, Sarah. Mm-hmm.
is great. I perpetuate and I'm the only one who can stop this. You can say you have it, but I know that I got this. Let the fault lie where it may. Oh, here's a mattress. Rise like the volume dial a couple notches. Hero senses want to save the accomplice. Before we save the day, yo, fake looks. Watching smoke rings turn into halos. I like the way she looking, but she on the wrong facial. Sweeter when it's pure, so I skip the artificial. Satisfaction comes easy when you see it's not an issue. I'd rather hit beats than the yayo. Scooping up a telescope to see like I'm Galileo. Got the till, add the U to the payroll. Time flies when you're having fun, or where'd the day go? Swallow light bulbs, release lightning fuego. Flipping it because we like a little bit of Play-Doh with an open spark.
Demons in the shadows, they lurk in illusionists, using tricks to gather sheep that they herd on. I can see the demons in the shadows, they lurk in illusionists, using tricks to gather sheep that they herd on.
Grim sing, 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 sing,
beans getting high, I'm trying to get a good word in. Rapping on the corner like I'm spitting a sermon. Beans getting high, I'm trying to get a good word in. Rapping on the corner like I'm spitting a sermon. Beans getting high, I'm trying to get a good word in. Rapping on the corner like I'm spitting a sermon.
Yeah, a couple of quick clips from Mental Advisory Free Thinking. Now it's a quick visit to the Monday Red Church and some of the interviews there happening a couple days after the last Homeless Lives Matter protest last Saturday.
Well, I'm down here at the Red Church. It's around 6:05, and I'm talking with Paul Steffen. Paul, you're a man who spent some time around the books today.
Quite a bit, yeah.
In the public library?
Library most of the time. That was there Saturday when they had the book sale, too.
And the downtown branch we're talking about.
That was good. Yeah, that was down there.
And I know there have been some folks who have been concerned about how security guards are coming down a little hard on some homeless folks in the library, people with backpacks and so forth. But your perspective on Big John was a little different. You say he's been particularly nice?
He was very nice to me. I had no problem, and I've got a backpack and another case, and they didn't seem to have any problem with me, you know, by my chair.
You haven't been falling asleep in the library?
No. I'm on the computer or reading or anything like that. Yeah, I haven't done it.
Please stand by. So we're going to begin that again. Don't go away.
What about Dorothy's place in Chinatown? Are there homeless encampments there?
Oh, hundreds. Around in Chinatown.
And how is it there, living? Have you been living there at all? Have you been visiting there?
No, I try to avoid the place because it's gotten very dangerous.
Really?
Yeah.
And has that been a change from past Chinatown residents?
From what I understand on some other friends that lived there.
And what he's talking about here, we skipped a bit. Unfortunately, I'm having some technical problems with my little device, or maybe it's operational problems with the operator. But that's Salinas he's talking about, where he, the speaker, has been for some time. The John he was talking about in the library, Big John, his full name is John Otenberg. I passed him the other day. And truth to tell, I haven't gotten any more... Well, I haven't gotten any consistent series of hostile complaints about him. And that's good. It may have indicated that our protests, Huff's protests, and focus on his behavior at the library, where he was driving people away and treating them like criminals or folks who need to be like children in some kind of a nursery school by directing them to do different things that they had no obligation or responsibility to respond to, except he's a very tall, imposing guy with a uniform and a weapon and a position. And that hasn't happened recently that I've seen or heard many complaints about. So I want to, if John has changed somewhat or First Alarm is adopting a different policy, again, I'm not aware that this is really the case in any explicit or thoroughgoing way. Still, no news can be good news in this situation.
There, they say it's gotten a lot worse lately.
Yeah,
there's more and more people that nobody's seen before show up, and so it's been getting a lot worse.
Have you ever been to Dorothy's place?
Once.
Yeah. What'd you think?
All right.
It's a food, it's a feeding food. Place.
It's a feeding place, yeah. But you didn't want to linger too much. Yeah, it
because
seemed, well, you always got everybody telling you, asking you, you want to buy this, you want to buy that, you want to sell this, or you want to buy what I got.
Mostly pharmaceuticals or other things?
Pharmaceuticals, yeah.
Well, it's cheaper than the pharmacist, or maybe more expensive.
I don't know. It depends on where they got it. Yeah.
And Dorothy's Place, we've actually had the executive director of Dorothy's Place on this show, is a sort of a homeless feeding area and shelter that borders on a large homeless encampment in what is called Chinatown in Salinas. So it's the encampment itself I've heard it referred to as Chinatown. I've gotten some positive reports about encampment from none other than campground expert Brent Adams, who's done a lot of traveling, done some videoing of different campgrounds. He is himself, of course, was struggling for a sanctuary camp and then a sanctuary village as model programs to encourage the middle class to sign on to ending the criminalization of the poor and finding some alternate emergency housing solutions. So far, hasn't gone very far, but he did talk a bit about Dorothy's Place. He went down and visited it, at least he visited the encampment there. Brent did, and hopefully we'll get more reports from there and find out more about what's happening. We've also heard some that Doug Loisel, who is in Monterey and who regularly commutes to Salinas, he works with various programs. I think he directs a couple of them, one in Monterey, one in Salinas. And he's promised he'll give us an update. So maybe we'll get an update one of these days.
Yes, I would say so, yeah.
And we've been talking with?
Paul Steffen.
Thank you, Paul.
Will it work?
I hope so.
I have some rumors from an anomalous source about that. I'd like to know if there's any truth in the fact that there are beatings happening up on Mission Street near, I guess there are a number of Chinese restaurants up there, but and are the beatings happening? Are they happening to homeless people sleeping in doorways? Is this just a rumor? We want to know more. So give a call to 423-4833 or call the studio at 427-3772 when you hear this broadcast.
So in other words, down at the Red Church, a woman who did not want to be identified claimed that she had gotten secondhand reports of people being beaten on Mission Street in the doorways of certain restaurants and cafes, I'm presuming at night when the places were closed or at different times. And I said, I'd like to hear if there are, for many people who have been victimized or seen this happen, give a call either now on the air at 427-3772, 427-3772, or call my phone number at 423-HUFF, 423-HUFF,
423-4833. Any other rumors, anonymous woman? United Sisters, what's your name?
Helen.
And who are your two sisters?
This is Starshine and Kari.
Hello.
And is everybody happy? Are they all sleeping illegally outside?
I'm extremely happy.
You're
sleeping
smiling.
Illegally.
Well, now.
But I'm not sleeping outside because I roll.
No. Yeah, we're gypsies.
We're gypsies.
So they don't mind us.
I'm home free. But
for as long as we keep moving.
Less.
Right.
I'll keep that in mind. Thank you very much, and thank you.
You're welcome, yes.
Okay. No any problem. Report? With Father Joel. And Joel, you're standing at the door looking a little woebegotten today. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling fine.
But your roll, a thick roll of red tickets, kind of theater tickets that you were giving out last week, you say you've given them all out?
That's it, right.
What is this new process involving tickets that you have here at the door?
It's what I told you last week. We're creating community.
And Father Joel is, in fact, the boss at the Red Church. His full name is Joel Miller. He's been doing the program for some years. More recently, it's been getting tighter and tighter, not allowing people to rest on the grass outside, even on the 2 hours when the program is operating from 5 to 7 on Mondays, and closing it down, closing down the somewhat tolerant, seemingly, getting reports that police are being called for people who are sleeping around the church at night. You'll hear some of this discussion, but this is Joel Miller. And this, again, this conversation happened, I guess, 4 days ago or 3 days ago, today being the 21st, I guess it was the 17th or the 18th, at the Red Church.
And so you receive a ticket when you're willing to be a part of the community. So our talking here is a willing...
By a ticket, he doesn't mean a sleeping ticket. He means a little red ticket that you normally would find. You used to find these in theater lines in the old days, little red tickets off of a large ticket roll. Now they're just sort of, I guess they're sort of for events or something. He was providing, it used to be you just walked into these meals. Now you get a ticket when you come in, which will enable you to get some food. I guess, I think that's the new procedure they're using. When I reached him at 6 or 6:15 in this conversation last Monday, he didn't have a roll of tickets with him, and I said, what, so you changed your policy back again? I was wondering what was going on. The meals were mostly, I think, was mostly over, and maybe he'd run out of tickets. I wasn't entirely clear, but that's what the ticket stuff is all about.
Willingness for you to help do dishes tonight.
Dishes has always been one of my favorite things.
Good. So then you can get a ticket. But we're trying to limit it to 75 just because we need to.
So in terms of the resources you have, or in terms of your concern about managing a large crowd?
Both.
What about the business of sleeping near the church? Has that become more problematic for you?
It's only a problem when there's trash and feces and...
Nobody opened the bathroom?
Yeah, well, there's a person who has a key. And, you know, when people are high, they just go wherever they go. And they leave their clothes...
I'm speaking from experience. Have you hung out with the high gang?
I see them in the morning when I come here.
I see. And, do they admit to having pooped in the bushes if they have?
No, well, sometimes they're lying in it, rolling around it in their sleeping bags or their blankets, incoherently.
We're trying to eat dinner here, Joel,
yeah,
if you don't mind.
You know, I'm trying to give you a picture.
No, I'm glad. This is radio, after all.
Yeah.
So what is the situation with public restrooms? You've naturally, of course, spoken out on the need for more public restrooms at night.
Yeah, well, I think there should be, yeah. And I know about the porta-potty that's not adequate.
Oh, the Posner poo-poo machine, so to speak.
And actually, I have not heard Joel Miller publicly, at least at any city council forum or any public media, but I don't always follow these things closely, speak out for... denouncing, it's sort of a combination of things. I mean, yes, there are no public bathrooms. Yes, that's unsanitary, unhygienic, unwise, and unhappy in a civilized society. But it also becomes a great excuse for blaming homeless people as being dirty and filthy and going poo-poo and pee-pee and criminalizing them. I mean, not so much they're being put in jail and subjected to fines, which they are to some extent, but they're being threatened with that in order to drive them away. That's the main function of these anti-homeless laws. They'd prefer not to have arrests going down. What they really want to do, I think, and again, I'm not inside their heads, but their objective is to scare people away from town. It's a form of terror, sort of institutional city government terror. I know, that seems like such a harsh word, but if you were outside and you wanted to go to the bathroom and you found all the bathrooms locked and then had to nervously attempt to take a dump or have a piss off on the side, you might find it kind of a terrifying thing, too, if you then see a squad car nearby. That, hence, terror against the poor.
Is that what it is?
Well, he's the one who put it in. I mean, rather than open up a bathroom, which could be cleaned regularly, we have this porta potty.
He doesn't have the authority to do that. That's the city council that would...
Well, he's on the city council.
Yeah, he's one vote.
Right, but he could have requested that instead of pushing for a $15,000 porta potty. But, you know,
there's an awful lot of debate. I know they were, when I first came here, they were thinking of constructing a public bathroom right over here, and then that was totally voted.
When did you first come? When did you arrive in Santa Cruz?
9 years ago.
Because I know 16 years ago there was a bathroom commission established, which actually set up five porta potties throughout the town and also planned, perhaps along with the lines you talk about opening up some real public bathrooms.
Yeah. Well, then, you know, I would suggest that in a similar way, if you could.
And I think what Joel is talking about, it actually came out several days later. there was a proposal to set up a self-cleaning bathroom in downtown Santa Cruz about the time Joel arrived in town. It's one of those kiosks such as you find in San Francisco. I don't know if I've ever used those bathrooms. I don't go up to San Francisco much. Usually I wander over to Berkeley when I go up there. But they are kind of round kiosks, and they have advertising on them, and apparently that's what funds them, the advertising from the agencies that put in the kiosks. And it was apparently turned down because no merchants would allow it. Well, merchants protested, and the city council staff and council members quavered and retreated in the face of merchant criticism about this. In other words, they'd rather have a town filled with shit than a bunch of merchants who are talking a lot of shit. I guess it's one way of putting it.
Get a system where the people who use it actually also take care of it. Maybe there's a way to get a working.
If you can get the tourists to take care of the bathrooms, or the bar people at late at night would crash the bathroom.
It would be a great thing for the homeless people. They said, okay, we need your participation in our community, and you know, you have need for food, you have need for this and that. If you take care of these bathrooms and make sure they're.
Is it your impression that homeless people don't participate in the community? Let's say they participate less so than people who are.
Before we get into that, I just want to point out that this most recent suggestion, that, and I guess it's actually kind of a campaign undertaken by a few people. Brent Adams is one of them. Steve Plaich is another. Joel Miller sounds like he's signed on. And I think maybe Don Lane, I think, may have said something favorable about this, though I'm not sure about that. The idea that the homeless should be cleaning up the bathrooms. Huff discussed this issue yesterday. We have our meetings every Wednesday, as I said before. And there was Steve Plaich came to the meeting. He's an activist who heads a thing called the Homeless Persons Legal Assistance Project. And he also does TV shows and radio shows. He's running for city council and is on a bunch of boards. And is helping, assisting in a lawsuit that will attempt to overturn the infamous stay-away order law that gives the police the power to issue stay-away orders without any kind of court oversight or process. But his idea was that Huff should endorse his cleanup project, which I think he may have also written about for the newspaper Street Spirit, which he writes regularly for, which, by the way, we now have the new edition of. If you want a copy of Street Spirit, look for the car with all the bumper stickers. That's me. I have a relatively newer car, and it's now being slowly consumed by bumper stickers. And I'll have copies of Street Spirit available. Plaich writes often for Street Spirit, quite regularly, and he also can be found online. If you want to read thestreetspirit.org or .com, I'm not sure which, you can go to the online. You can read interesting articles about Bay Area civil rights struggles, and there's always one about Santa Cruz, compliments of Steve. But the idea, I can't really, Huff voted down his idea unanimously that there be Huff sign on to the idea of homeless people cleaning the porta potty, which is a sort of a makeshift primitive bathroom. It's not really a bathroom. It doesn't really have the things a bathroom usually has, but it does have a hole in the ground or a hole in a can you can crap and piss into. And I think there are maybe some paper towels and some toilet paper when they're there. And it's at the corner of Laurel and Front Street. And we call it the Posner porta potty, or the Posner poo-poo machine, or the Posner pooper, whatever you want to call it. Because Micah Posner is the one who, through his efforts, persuaded the staff to put it in. He ignored the attempt of some Huff members to encourage him to, as I said before, as you'll hear and heard me say repeatedly, actually simply open up one of the bathrooms that's in the park, or open up a bathroom that's in one of the garages. And he, even though it would probably be cost about the same thing, and the because it already exists, you don't have to use any special cleaning. You got to send someone in to clean them, but there are people who are paid to do that now, and that could be done. Instead, what the complaint that Brent Adams brought out was he was very, and he's talked about this a little bit on Free Radio in an interview some months ago, or maybe about a month ago, that the porta potty, the Posner poo-poo machine, is only cleaned, he said, twice or three times a week, whereas the bathrooms, let's say, at San Lorenzo Park are cleaned every 2 hours. Now, I don't know if this is accurate, but I think there's a cleaning schedule on the wall. We're hoping to get clearer stats on this at the next Huff meeting. Maybe we'll find more about this. But you know, it clearly seems discriminatory if you're titling this one bathroom. It's an attempt, if this one porta potty is your attempt to say, is the city's attempt to say, see, we're so civilized here with our homeless people that, and also because we prefer that they not crap all over the area, that we'll give them a bathroom to go to. If you only give them this wretched porta potty that's badly cleaned, and then somebody else has the, frankly, bad taste to suggest that the people who are already subjected to this indignity should now have to prove their worth by cleaning it up, to me, this is an exact topsy-turvy inversion, upside-down attempt to screw over the victim and actually justify further abuses against homeless people, in the sense that you can say, see, they have only themselves to blame for all this. And it's a way of evading responsibility. When you don't establish adequate facilities, then you blame people for what happens. So it also seems like it's a way of ignoring. I have no stats, but it's there's a large population of sports fans who do go to the arena shows, and they. I don't know if they're a violent crowd. I've never been assaulted by anybody down there. I don't spend much time down there during the games. I don't think I've ever been down there during a game close in, but. You know, a huge population of tourists, people from the university, people to go to the beaches and the boardwalk, need to use facilities and do use facilities, actually in far greater numbers than homeless people. But it's also true that homeless people are the only people out there late at night, and they are being tarred and feathered for this stuff. So let's stop that, folks. Whenever you hear people start babbling about the feces, the poo-poo, and even drug use. I mean, there are plenty of drug users who are indoors. They just have the protection of walls. And, you know, people who are using drugs who don't want to, are using drugs unwisely in ways that promote violence or conflict or other problems. These are problems that arise, for sure. A lot of them because of the criminalization situation to begin with, although there's some claim that the criminalization assists in this. I think this just say no approach is ridiculous, and at least in the case of marijuana, we're seeing that start to change. It's been changing. It's changed a long time ago, but not among the people in positions of authority, and those of us not in power haven't had the power to kick their asses out, or perhaps the will and solidarity to do it. Let's take a musical break, and I'll be back. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.3 FM, freakradio.org.
Travel so far, so far from home. The sea is my only life. Oh, I find myself another way.
That's a Home Sweet Home, Kevin Robinson, from his album, which is one of several I got from him. It's called Kevin Robinson. So, let's hear a little more from the Red Church and the discussion. I think it's with Joel Miller, the pastor. And maybe your calls. You never can tell. It's happened before. We may get a phone call, 427-3772, or you can call off air, again, 427-3772, or you can call off air at 423-4833.
Or who pay rent or who come to town and visit.
Well, I'm very impressed with this group. You know, they come in and they clean up and they participate.
Even the larger group that you drove off the lawn?
No, that was the problem. There was people that were not participating, and they were leaving a mess, and they were unruly. And so we don't have as much unruly behavior.
But we're talking about reducing the population by about at least 50%. Are you claiming that 50% of this population was unruly?
50% of the population was on the lawn.
Right.
And that caused an issue for us, because that's where the problems mainly were, on the lawn. So we weren't really able to manage the physically or socially.
What about this guy? Was he a little unruly at times?
He was, yeah.
All right, well, that's, at least there's some hope for him.
You know, there's no system that's perfect, and it's, you know, we want to welcome people and have an open door. But we have to have something that we can control and manage.
So,
this is the schmooze approach to these issues. In other words, it is not really, you're not really getting to hear the actual specifics of what the real problems were or discuss the dimensions of what the actual situation was. And so what we have instead is we have, you know, the cover, sort of a series of bland excuses. Oh, well, it wasn't manageable and, you know, too many people on the lawn, so we had to cut back by 50%. Well, first, they're not a part of the community and they're not participating and they're unruly. And that, I think what it really boiled down to was they did go on the lawn, and that annoyed Joel, who had decided he didn't want people on the lawn. Most of the time, as I've mentioned many a time, the Calvary Episcopal Church, which is at the corner of Cedar and Lincoln Streets, right across from the Farmer's Market and right across from the Nickelodeon and Jack's Restaurant, is the largest green area in the downtown area. And it's usually, there aren't events happening on the lawn or area that would make it something that would require people not to be there. But this has become part of the attempt to sanitize and please neighbors in the area that are, you know, maybe even, I don't know. It's been said it was the bishop, and you're going to hear him saying, no, it wasn't the bishop, it was the superior. Why is this important? Because there's only one place, and only a small fraction of the homeless population actually comes to the Red Church. It's illustrative of kind of how charitable people with who are concerned about issues enough to put in a significant amount of time and energy, at least a couple days a week. And the Red Church is part of a shelter program that, you know, shelters 20 people along with six or seven other churches. I mean, it's a pittance, it's a drop, it's a token. But for those people, it's good. You know, that's nice. But, of course, there are hundreds of people outside that it doesn't shelter. And you don't hear them demanding that this be done as in terms of the emergency, which it is. And because these voices are silent on this issue, that is one of the reasons this continues. I truly believe that. And so when I get hear further cutbacks in services, driving people away from the lawn, requiring tickets to get into the building. I was actually put to work doing dishes at Monday night. Now, that's okay. I don't mind. I do a couple of dishes. Believe it or not, I occasionally do my own dishes. Not a lot, mind you. But in the past, whenever I stayed in people's houses, I would make it a point to do their dishes. I mean, you know, you try to do an exchange. But, I mean, my job, usually, when I go to the Red Church, is to interview people. I go around and interview them. I don't think Joel sees this as some kind of service. I do. I think it's really important, and a service both to the people who are there, to the community that doesn't know anything about it, as well as being entertainment for the listening audience. Although I think that's the main point of this. I hope that's not the main point of this. Anyway, let's continue to hear more of me and Joel going at it last Monday.
Again, I'm just trying to get clear. You're not saying that 50% of the people, because they were on the lawn, were unruly. You're saying that there are only some on the lawn who are unruly? Or are you saying most on the lawn were unruly? Or just they didn't like the idea of being as rulish as you might want them to be?
Well, we weren't able to control what was on the lawn.
Because smoking, you mean?
Smoking, yelling, fighting, medical issues. You know, they all seem to happen out there. And it was, you know, calling the ambulance.
How frequently did that happen?
Sometimes, when we had even more problems with this 6 years ago, it was twice a month.
And now, I mean, last year or so?
Last year, you have to ask Scott. I'd say we've done it seven or eight times.
Fair enough. You announced a fundraiser, which I do.
Before we raise funds for Joel or the church, and given his current stance, we have a caller, a very familiar voice. What's your name, caller?
Hi, this is David.
David Minton Silva.
This is he.
The former city council candidate.
Oh, yeah. That repeal the sleeping ban campaign that...
Yeah,
got so popular.
You put a lot of work into that in the late 90s, as I remember.
Yeah. You know, I don't really understand what Father Joel's problem is. You know, I can't... My whole image of the Red Church on Monday is people on the lawn, and I don't really remember much bad behavior. I think, you know, the neighbors may complain. That's the bad behavior, the behavior of the neighbors. I think Father Joel really should see that, and he shouldn't have allowed himself to be pushed around like this.
I think that's really, you know, well put, frankly, David. I mean, because I agree with you.
Okay.
You know, the
well, good luck with handling him. You know, I think I'll take him aside and give him a talking to myself.
Give him a tongue lashing.
Talk to you, yeah. Talk to you later.
All right, man. In the studio with me, of course, is the inimitable and sometimes much undervalued Doc Mike. Who himself may have some thoughts on this, or may not. I'm not sure. What's the story, Uncle Mike?
About thoughts on which subjects do you...
Situation of the Red Church, Father Joel,
well,
the lawn
David.
Situation.
I think David is probably right. It sounds to me like it's a neighbor complaint, and Father Joel is trying to, you know, curtail that. And while there might be some people on the lawn that may not be with the best behavior, I would not say 50% of the people there fall into that category. So it sounds pretty much to me like a neighborhood complaint or what the neighbors think or what the police think or maybe he's been threatened. Who knows what's going on? But it's sad to see that they had to cut the... feeding schedule by 50%. That's quite a lot.
Yeah, I mean, actually, as I said before, I don't know why I would spend so much time on this one little issue, except that it's indicative of something that's happening, and hopefully it's not indicative, but I fear it is indicative of something that's happening all over town, and generally in other places as well, but, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Let's hear some more.
Beautifully passed on to the Free Radio audience. Not necessarily recommending one thing or another. You know, my dishwashing skills are limited, but anything coming up that you want to point out? Or you can always talk about the same thing that's happening.
Well, there are some churches in Mid-County that are interested in being a part of the shelter. So there's
this B-ish program.
Yeah, or what we call that faith community shelter.
Currently at 20 people a night.
Right.
About seven nights a week.
Right, and the model that I would like to do, but it's hard to do logistically, is for a church to take a whole week. And so the people are actually part of the community for a week. They do it in Palo Alto, where they're there for a month.
Upscale, wealthier community, right?
No, Palo Alto is both All Saints Episcopal Church, which
is true.
They have quite a homeless population in Palo Alto.
And what's the reception among the other churches for this proposal here so far?
Well, it's difficult for us, too, because you have to really change your whole calendar and schedule.
What about your congregation? I understand you're under some pressure from the bishop and the congregation to clear away the riffraff.
The pressure wasn't from the bishop, but the pressure was people coming, climbing over people to get into the church for choir practice.
They were so eager for choir practice. They got singers or addicted to singing. What is it?
No, they're camping. They start camping at 6 in the afternoon and 6 in the
interfering
evening.
Interfering with the choir practice.
Interfering with the choir practice, with meetings. We have 60,000 people that come through here.
So, again, notice the priorities. The people who are engaging in survival sleeping are interfering with the choir practice. I mean, anyone who doesn't see a problem with that kind of statement, particularly if they are a person of the cloth who is supposedly engaged in, helping the poor and setting things a topsy-turvy world aright and looking for spiritual values, has been corrupted by the commercial scene or by the need to maintain a certain middle-class acceptability or a series of middle-class priorities, his choir practice. That's my thought. But, Mike, do you have something you wanted to say quickly?
I was thinking they could have changed if it was important enough, they could have changed the choir practice to a different day.
And, caller, you're on Free Radio with me and the ghost of Father Joel, perhaps. Although, actually, he's probably not here. Go ahead. Caller?
Yes. I don't really, know how much that you can expect from the church in
not
terms
much,
of,
apparently.
Changes.
No, I don't.
Churches are basically conservative institutions.
For sure.
Like if you want to, ask Father Joel how much tax he pays.
Yeah.
I mean, in a revolutionary situation, the homeless people would take the church, and then see, what side Father Joel is on, but not to come down too hard on the man. He's, obviously has a good heart, but these churches, are basically parasites on society in so many ways, and just to go back to the issue of public bathrooms, we're talking about putting pipes in the ground and hooking up sewer, and this is like controversial in our cities now to have bathrooms, it's absolutely absurd. And why our cities cannot build a nice public bathroom and pay some guy to stand out in front and take a quarter from everybody who wants to use it or something like that. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, for sure. Are you a Santa Cruz local caller?
No, I'm not. I'm a listener to your show.
Where are you? Where are you? What part of the world are you in?
In New Jersey.
And in New Jersey, is it a small town, big town, poor town, rich town?
It's fairly a rich town, near Camden.
Well, you probably got a significant portion of homeless people there. Do they have? You have 24-hour bathrooms in your town?
No, and there's none in Camden either, which has a very large homeless population, and or even in Philadelphia, just close to where I live, it's absolutely disgusting, you know. And there's no place for anybody to go to the bathroom. So where do they go to the bathroom? You know, in the doorways. And
where they can, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just such a, it just seems like such a absurd argument to be having, you know.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's a pretty shitty argument, you might even say.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been a listener of this show, caller?
Probably 15 years, 10 years at the most.
Good grief. Well, thank you. And if you think, is it getting better or worse, or is it staying the same? Are you getting more depressed?
In terms of what? I'm sorry.
The show itself, I'm trying to do. I've often wondered how people are feeling about the show, and it's really hard to tell. We don't have, you know, really way of telling how many folks are listening on the air, and even the stream issues are not too clear to me. So that's, I was wondering, you know, what keeps you listening, and how frequently do you listen?
I listen a couple times a month. I usually download your show, and then you know, eventually I'll get around to listening to it. The street interviews was what got my attention when I first started listening. It was just remarkable to hear the voices of the homeless people, and you know, because I'm not perfect and I have my prejudices, but you know, but I'm hearing their voices. Really, you know, has helped me to see their world, I guess. You know, not to, you know, single them out as like a special kind of person. You know, it's such a complicated story. I mean, there are so many, you know, stories that I've heard on your show, you know, people tell their life stories, and it's just really fascinating.
Yeah, it often seems pretty repetitive to me. Of course, I focus on certain areas myself in order to drive home, you know, the obvious, which never seems to get driven home enough, but I keep doing it.
You're a
first-time caller, right, yourself? Have you called before? I don't remember.
I've called before.
You have called before, okay.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Anything you want to add?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just to hear, you know, like, when you talk about Steve Plage, it's just, and the others who are, you know, basically liberals and, you know, who have, you know, really good intentions and everything, but you see, like how, you know, like when you were just talking about, how they won't be homeless to clean their own their bathrooms, okay. Well, do they pay this, you know, these homeless people $25 an hour to clean their bathrooms? You know, which is what the guy who cleans it, the porta potty, probably makes. You know, those guys that drive the trucks around and I clean the porta potties make at least $20 an hour. You know, I mean, it basically comes down to people need money and they need shelter and, you know, all this, you know, talking around the issue, it's really frustrating, you know, like how the liberal viewpoint is just so much doesn't really deal with the real issue, you know, that people need jobs, money, housing, you know, places to go to the bathroom, and,
I think you got it. I think you nailed it. You know, I think that's it.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm gonna roll
sure.
ahead, but you know, feel free to call back and, yeah, thank you for listening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hope I was, made sense.
I think you did. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Bye bye. Call lines are open. 427-3772. 427-3772 is the number. And let's continue with the interviews, or we'll never get through them.
And, you know, sometimes...
Joel Miller.
Again, if they're unruly, it's not a very pleasant experience. Tango lessons.
I always felt tango lessons are a priority over shelter. I mean, that's always been one of my beefs about these homeless people. They don't seem to appreciate the importance of tango, you know what I mean?
That's right.
Well, you know what to say, don't tangle with the tangoers.
Yeah. Well... they should be able to come here and not be feel like they're going to be accosted or have to deal
step
with
over these unruly times.
Drunk people and you know
well,
and that's it's one in a thousand that's combative, argumentative.
But drive off the other 999 just in case.
That's what happens because you know that's the. People get lumped together, and if you know, if one homeless person is causing trouble for a community here that comes here regularly,
everybody gets blamed.
Yeah, right.
So your approach is to blame everybody to begin with, thus solving the problem.
No, my approach is to say, show that you're willing to make a commitment.
Yeah. And if you're one of the 75 who happens to get into the church,
no, they can come to me and say, you know, I can't be here at 5 o'clock, but I'll promise to come and eat and clean up, help clean up, and you
know. Even sleep outside.
Oh, I do give letters to people,
but very few, correct?
Right, because I don't, you know, it's hard for me to know the ones that I can really rely upon.
But most people who come here, I'm told, and do sleep here, don't have letters, but generally weren't harassed, and don't complain that, you know, police tell them to leave sometimes. Sometimes they get ticketed. But has that markedly decreased because of this, the tango interference problem?
It was, you know, I think it was markedly decreased because there was a big heroin arrest on Ocean. It was in the Sentinel a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, the kind of drug use kind of had that heroin kind of glaze, not the, you know, the...
And Joel may know more about this than I do, but it sounds a little, I don't know, I have a little trouble believing that that there's a... I don't know. Heroin use is the reason that there were... He's stopped allowing people to sleep on the side of the church. I don't know. Anyway, we've got a caller from Pushback, Pat Colby. Hi, Pat.
Hi.
Hi. So I know you're not listening to our show, so your comments may be way off topic, but what's your topic?
Well, I was just saying, you know, kind of our short protest at the Feel Good for the Public Works little exhibition yesterday on Lincoln between Cedar and Center.
You know, I've mentioned that briefly. I actually have some, I both have some video, a little bit, and some audio. The video is of the guy who I did not get identified, the fellow with the red tie who told us to leave or we would be arrested, which we ignored, and they didn't arrest us. And then I have a number of interviews with people there, but you were there when we set up a table concerned about this 24-hour homeless parking ban that is still... I don't know if they've posted any signs implementing it, but they certainly haven't clarified that it's not going to happen. What was your experience yesterday, or what is it you want to talk about with respect to that?
Well, I did go over and talk to this blonde lady that was sitting at the parking, under the parking canopy there, and I pointed out to her the problem with the 24-hour ban, how it would violate people's civil rights, it would deny them access to the homeless service center. And I said also that HPHP is one of the, I believe, three. There might be four Medi-Cal places where you can use Medi-Cal. There's very few in this county. And so it would deny access of anyone who uses them as their Medi-Cal clinic, especially if they're disabled. And disabled people have to park near things. And I know that parking lot is full. And then we also talked to someone who got told that was using the services that they had to move their car out. And so I said, you know, it's going to violate people's civil rights if it goes through this 24-hour parking. And it's going to violate their disability rights, because if they're disabled, then they can't get access to the homeless service center because of the parking issue. And also their medical rights. And she said, oh, well, that's fine. And she just smiled. And I said, so this doesn't bother you? She says, well, if it bothers you, you should go get a lawyer. And I go, well, this is a really terrible thing, you know, that they really need to consider. And she goes, well, you can go, you know, fight with the federal agencies if you want, if that's amusing to you. She's like totally oblivious or caring. And anyway, these are what I call the parking Nazis. They don't care how it affects any of the residents or citizens. And Santa Cruz doesn't care how it affects any disabled people. They obviously have shown disdain for open government, which I posted on Indie Bay. They have showed disdain to disabled people, people in wheelchairs, people trying to get use their medical stuff. Like, if they look homeless, they're treated poorly, they're dumped out in the middle of the night with no way to get transportation to where they're even staying, if they're even staying at a motel. I mean, this is just outrageous, and this affects all these agencies count on federal money, which has a lot of stipulations,
you know,
and one of them.
You
is,
know, Pat, what I was, we did some tabling there. We actually got quite a number of signatures on this petition urging that the 24-hour ban be rescinded, and I also recently sent out an email suggesting a number of other more significant reforms be implemented, such as eliminating all nighttime parking bans, which, unless there's some really, really good justification for them, but they're actually, in the staff reports, always say, oh, we don't like the illegal camping, as though the fact that, you know, slapping an illegal label on something, on a survival need, has that impact. But my problem yesterday, I mean, I'm glad we I think we did a great job. You made some great signs, and Mike here in the studio was really bringing people over, so they were really lining up to sign the petition. But I went by there afterward, and I said they had a huge neon sign that talked about "Celebrate Public Works" was what it kept flashing, and I realized we needed to be twice as confrontational as we were. We needed to be shouting at them, you know, that this is, you know, this is a form of criminal abuse of homeless people, and letting people know this in the most uncertain terms, and, you know, presenting the petition still. In other words, I think I'm glad we stayed where we were and didn't get driven away. But I also, I was critical of myself for being far too low key. What was your feeling?
Well, I did walk through the crowds and hand out a lot of things about the recycling. And people thanked me for calling. They said they've had many problems and they're frustrated with it.
For those who don't know, the recycling issue for you was the attack on homeless people in an attempt to earn money off the backs of the poor that the Public Works Department was doing by both eliminating recycling centers, or at least this was done in the collusion of neighborhood groups, and making it difficult to reopen them, and then also harassing both through directly and through their literature. If you look at Public Works literature, you see them encouraging the public to report recycling to the police, that is, say, homeless recycling, as a crime.
Right.
So,
it,
I mean,
turned into a homeless issue when it was just a grab to force us all, without choice or options, to put our give our deposit money to the city. That was the main thing.
So what was
a political
what was
your, grab for money, blaming the homeless.
What was your feeling about this thing yesterday and the next such event that comes up? We have several events coming up this weekend, though they're different. They're not, the bureaucrats are not laying out a PR exercise, rather activists. Sin Baris, I believe, is having a full day program of opposing solitary confinement out Cowles Beach on Saturday. I guess it's...
It's near Ideal on the Wharf.
And it's near Ideal on the Wharf, is that right?
Yes.
And you know what time that is? I've heard it many times in the last week, but it's...
It's posted on the Santa Cruz Community Facebook.
I don't get a Facebook page here, but maybe someone will call in. Maybe we'll know about that. I know Food Not Bombs has its 35th anniversary from noon to 6 and has invited Huff to bring a table and literature and a bunch of other groups, too. It's kind of a gathering of activists to support Food Not Bombs and also hopefully get mutual support from each other. So, you know what I noticed?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm trying to gain some lessons from our, there's never really, you know, I guess, any hard and fast you can necessarily draw here, but I thought there's a learning curve that Huff activists are going through. I know Mike here was in the studio. As I said, it was very impressive to me, Mike, how you kept bringing people over one after another. You didn't just hand out little pieces of paper as they walked by. You talked to them. You encouraged them to come over, and they did come over.
Yeah, because they definitely taught the approach to cutting off access to homeless people was wrong, was heavy-handed and wrong. And so it was easy to get them. They agreed with the message, and they wanted to sign.
Yeah, as soon as they learn what's going on, they usually are appalled.
Yeah.
Any other experience?
The darkness that Santa Cruz operates under that lets
any,
you get away
any,
with it.
Any experiences you had yesterday that were particularly stick in your mind in terms of... Oh, and there were a lot of bureaucrats running around. There was the mayor and Councilmember Posner. I think Cynthia Matthews showed up as we were setting down. And, you know, there was a city manager wandering around. A lot of people were there.
Because all I saw were the flunkies. I didn't see any of the major important people manning these booths.
And you were too busy making signs off to the side.
I guess so. They did their appearance and left.
Yes, Pat, I have something to say to you that occurred to me is, you know, the city manager was there yesterday. I just had an opportunity to talk to him for a few minutes, but he didn't seem to, he says he's not aware of any of the 24-hour shutdown around a homeless center. So, your point you brought up about the handicapped people and et cetera, you might like to write him a letter and, he said he would look into it, write him a letter and bring up that point to him because it sounds on the surface to be a valid point. He might want to know about that and it might help the cause to slow it down.
He's been sent letters already.
That's amazing because the city clerk, Bren Lehr, was writing how to spell Robert and said if he squawks, then tell him this, which I posted on IndieBay. Fortunately, it didn't make it into the important news, though. I thought it was very important that the city openly is trying to shut down Freedom of Information Act and also showing disdain for open and transparent government.
Indeed.
Maybe you, Robert, can talk to IndieBay people about getting that posting of her inappropriate letter moved to
never can tell.
You know, IndieBay, the local news.
IndieBay has a mind of its own. Anything else, Pat?
Basically, I think it's great that Michael brought people over. Because a lot of people don't know what's really going on. And I made the point, what really bothers me more than anything with public works, of course, is these horrible things that they do. But then they have these fancy artwork, wrought iron railing that cost how many, probably $10,000 or more dollars. And then their countertop is inlaid sea glass. And I like, they're saying they have no money. And then they're doing an anti-homeless agenda. Why are people not seeing all this waste of money that they're doing? And then when they're trying to grab my recycling money, is it going to go into artwork? Because I'm not seeing any streets fixed. I'm not seeing potholes going away. I don't see where my money's going to.
Well, thank you, Pat. I think those are important issues, and I'm going to leave it there and run with it. Thanks for calling in.
Okay.
And phone lines are open, 427-3772. Talked to Robert and Mike in the last half hour of the show. We're still haven't yet reached the interviews with the public works folks probably won't until we actually didn't have any interviews with the public works, but we had interviews with the politicians and the city manager. I did anyway. And I think I recorded your discussion, Mike, with the city manager, Martin Bernal. But let's hear a little more of Father Joel's. Perhaps we're hearing a little too much of Father Joel. I'm not sure. But let's hear some more anyway.
Jerky kind of meth thing, or not the mellow.
Well, we may be hearing less of that because of my machine is apparently censoring poor Father Joel. So we'll move now to from the pulpit to the streets. Here's a little something. I think we're going to go into some downtown Pacific Avenue tunes.
Again, I'm talking with Father Joel. Colonel, you've become a dramatist, Joel?
I am a
man singing across from the Cinema 9.
Time, baby, I don't know. Come back later, gonna let it show.
And we have a illegal blanket on the sidewalk, but in a legal blue zone, in one of the, I guess, the newer spots next to the directory sign. This was previously a free area across from the Cinema 9, one of the two or three free zones prior to the Comstock Lane rules. We'll be coming up for a second vote. Nice looking display of jewelry. Small display. And the sign, Trading and Courage, Smiles Mandatory. And we've been listening to the music of... what is your name, musician?
My name's Sam.
Hey, Sam. Any songs of your own composition?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
Anything about the streets you wish to sing about?
Well, about the street in particular.
Well, about Santa Cruz.
About Santa Cruz? No, I don't have anything about Santa
or
Cruz.
About life, your life on the street, if you've been on the street much?
I've got one.
All right.
It's less to do with the street and more to do with the person.
All right. I'll take it. Let's see how it sounds.
It's not great, but I like it.
Well, let's hear it. Sounds good.
It's been a while, sir. Well, I pick up my guitar and the sixer to show myself a good time, so my spirit can fly to the country and leave all these troubles behind. The fire in my heart keeps on burning, though my body is fading right out. Well, give me my guitar and a six-pack of brew, and I'll show you what it is about. Well, that bottle that I'm drinking this evening is trying to make a fool out of me, trying to give me those good times and forget about that old Hep C. Though I know that my years may be longer, if I sober up and stay clean, but I'd rather be dead and stay dirty than follow some other man's dream. So pick up that guitar and the sixer, show them all a good time, so their spirits can fly to the country and leave all those troubles behind.
And we're going to interrupt this because we have a caller whose voice you may recognize. Callers, let's see if they can recognize your mystery voice.
Mystery caller, sign in, please.
We'll give, I'm afraid actually there's no one here to actually answer that question except me, and I know who you are, and so does our associate in the studio.
Steve Plaich, Homeless Persons Legal Assistance Project, lawsuit against the stay-away order ban, a potential helper in the small claims court suit, colluder with the ACLU nonsense, and other fine activities. What do you got for us tonight?
Well, as you know, tomorrow is going to be the Vigil for Peace that we have at Pacific and Cooper, but Saturday, a very important event is the statewide rally against solitary confinement that Tim Barros has been hosting along with a number of other activist organizations, and they're going to be meeting at 1:30 right by the Ideal Bar, right at the end of the wharf.
Thank you for that news, Steve. We actually talked about it earlier, but we didn't have the time, and we're a little uncertain on the place. So will you be there hoisting a few as they go to in front of the Ideal Bar? What will you be doing?
Well, I'll be there marching in solidarity, of course.
Is there some reason that this is at the Ideal Bar rather than the distant and more picturesque lighthouse spot that they've been at the last couple of...
You know, I don't really know. The March and April rallies were in the evening, well, evening-ish, 5:30, and this is in the afternoon. I think it's the first one that they've organized for the afternoon, so maybe they just wanted to be in a place where there's a higher visibility, maybe.
And I know I've always wondered, you know, if we should look at the effectiveness of these rallies. I did notice an article in the paper. I don't know if it's an older article. I'm kind of struggling to find it now about Contra Costa County ending solitary confinement for juveniles. And that may have happened in March or it may have been more recently. And it was done through court order, of course. I mean, apparently these people just love beating up the kids or isolating them or punishing them. And that's their, you know, way of, you know, changing their criminal proclivities. But that's sort of the opposite of what Sinbaris is planning to do, right?
Well, certainly they would advocate for and support the abolishment of solitary confinement for juveniles. The statewide action, I think, is also directed at the state prison system, which, as you know, has the very draconian solitary confinement and the supermax prisons and that kind of thing. So I think that is one of their main focus in the statewide rally.
You know, Steve, I was reviewing, and actually I saw most of the show that you hosted with Asuma Kenyatta, Wanda Knight, or Connolly Knight, as she prefers to be called, and Mithril...
Garman.
Yes. Respectively, the ACLU, the NAACP, and then the independent activist. I guess Wanda's an independent activist. She's
of course, yeah.
You know, I noticed you were shutting her down when she tried to name the deputy who wouldn't take the complaint, and I was.
Well, we just can't do that on public television because, you know, we're a public entity. We do receive some financing from public sources, so I just don't necessarily think it's appropriate. I do think it's appropriate for her to give us the facts, which she did in detail.
We disagree,
her being
sure.
Stopped 7 times in a row. Simply driving up in the valley and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't see. I got to tell you, Steve, I don't see how her stating her opinion about what happened in any way is limited. It sounded to me like you were nervous about something else.
No, not at all. I just would rather her have not named name. That's what she asked, and I said no. It would be best if she didn't.
It's interesting.
Otherwise, she got free rein to talk about whatever.
But isn't
she
it, you know,
in
isn't
terms of those incidents.
You know, isn't it an interesting coincidence that the ACLU for the last 4 years has also declined to name names? And while you've been the vice chair of the ACLU, I mean, is this? You know, we've been worried about liberal corruption in this situation, where liberals who are so concerned with maintaining their cozy relations with those in power, or you know, this community. Communications, if you will, this is the reason for the death of the Police Review Board, in my view, the old one, that they don't want to talk about, to see issues straight on, and particularly locally. I mean, I was glad you put on that show with Wanda Knight actually trying to name names and then being stopped from naming names.
So she was going to name one name, and it just wasn't appropriate.
She actually named a few other names, I think, but I mean, I noticed when you did stop her on that one occasion, and I, you know, the word appropriate covers a very, it's a multitude of sins there, and I don't think
I don't think appropriate calling something inappropriate is actually appropriate at all.
Well, I'm bound by states and policies. We wanted to take it up with CTV.
I see. Well, in any case, I suppose I might. We can see if they would have fired you if you had said that. I can always talk to your boss and see if that were the case.
Certainly, you're welcome to do that.
Or maybe you had that impression. But, Mike, I guess you have any other events before we get into a deep tangle?
Oh, yeah, of course. The 35th anniversary of Food Now Bomb, the Gala celebration, is going to be at
Sunday.
The post office.
Sunday
on Sunday
12
from
to 6. Now,
so we don't want to miss that.
Will you now are you going to be there with the Homeless Persons Legal Project doing anything in particular? What's been happening with that?
I'll probably be there on Saturday for a while after the Timbaros rally, because that's the kind of their main meal is on Saturday now. They do a Sunday meal when they can staff it. But Sunday I'll be over there. We have Sunday evening. Speaking of Voice from the Village, I'm doing a show hosting the Highway 6. We just had a kind of pre-production meeting today, so we're going to have 5 of the 6 students up there, and it's kind of a freewheeling, we hope, discussion about concerns about tuition hikes and selective enforcement of campus code violations and police brutality and, sexual predators on campus and all the issues that really gave rise to their action on March 3rd.
Now, are you organizing these shows yourself, or is this coming from some other quarter?
No, the one on Black Lives Matter was produced by myself and Gail Page Williamson. Mm-hmm. This one is also Gail and my idea. She was with me today at the pre-production meeting. So we're just making suggestions to Charlie and Betsy Phillips, who are the producers of Voices, which has run for 16 years, and it ran for, 13 of those years without my help, so certainly I'm just there as a host, but we like to suggest.
The reason I ask, Steve, is because I would like to see you do a show that actually, I kept hoping you'd do this with the Black Lives Matter, and I hope Mithril would stop babbling generalities, and I hope that Simba would stop talking about his own personal experiences and talk about the many complaints that his organization has dumped, suppressed, or avoided, and not actually gotten into the naming of names that people wanted made public. He talked a lot about how he's afraid people, they call him up and they say, I want to tell you about it, but I don't want to complain to the police, and I can understand that. But there were people who did go public and have gone public. Huff has done all kinds of research on Officer, Barnett and Officer Azua. We've got records we want to talk about. How about hosting a show that talks about local police misconduct?
Well, we could certainly do that.
Well, that'll be good. You arrange it. I'll try to find the proper guests. We'll invite, sympathetic police officers on. Of course, they won't come, but, maybe some people who are their allies or their friends might be interested. But I think that would be, but again, if you're going to censor us and we start naming names, that's going to be a problem. So, here we do name names. And
well, again, Robert, you take that up with the CTV board. If they don't think that that's the problem, then it's certainly not a problem for me.
Did they actually tell you that they would not? They did not want anybody to name any names on your show?
Well, that came up suddenly and spontaneously. I didn't realize that Wanda was going to want
you weren't
name,
so advised.
And it was a name, not names. And so at the time, I thought I erred on the side of caution and let's not do that.
Yeah, erring on the
but
side of caution.
In future, we can get a ruling from the CTV board of directors and what the station policy is.
There's no policy against it.
It's fine with me.
The best policy is always to seek forgiveness, not permission. I know that.
Well,
as an activist,
and you don't know that, Robert, and I don't know that. So there's no reason. There's no way to. Why should we speculate about that until we find out what the board says?
Well, because I don't usually go to ask people's permission before I speak truth on issues that I know is documented, and if somebody wants to take me to task, they can. If somebody wants to censor me, they can. That's their affair. Then the onus is on them. But, again, I want to point out, and I have to, here's the soft soap, I was glad you did do the show you did. I only wish that there was a real focus on local police abuse problems, and you're saying you're interested in doing that kind of a show.
Well, there's no reason why that show should not be done, because it is an issue of local interest and importance. And that's what the Voice from the Village does.
Okay, well, I could always carry a gag with me, so you could be cutting my mic at appropriate moments, in which case we could proceed. You know, I don't, we could do the Bobby Seale thing, even.
Well, as you know, CTV has done past programs on Factors 11, on homelessness, on any number of issues of local importance in town. I don't think anybody was censored during any of those programs, but
I don't recall
it's whether it's the board policy or not, I don't know, but certainly we'll find out.
Yeah, I don't care what the board policy is. I care what your policy is, and that's what I'm hoping we can, you know, we can. Because
I'm not going to violate the board policy if they say no, we absolutely positively can't do that.
Yeah, but they haven't told you anything.
I'm certainly not going to do it. Why should I?
Well, they haven't told you anything about a policy. I think you're innocent until proven guilty. You know, anyway, but let's leave that aside. Anything else coming up this week? I know that we have those two main events that are happening Saturday and Sunday. Sin Baris at 1:30 at the Ideal. Food Not Bombs all afternoon at the main post office. Post promises to be a big event. Anything else?
Well, it's, as I said, the Highway 6 show will be at 7 o'clock. You're welcome to come and
speak
join out. Us in the audience and ask them a question if you like. That'll
sure,
be at 7
you.
O'clock at the station.
And I'm glad that, you know, you and others are providing some access to these folks. Are you, I know that, is this in any way, are you interested in meeting after the show to do some work? We were talking about small claims court. I don't know if, I hate to put this on the air.
No, I'm certainly happy to do that, but I can't do it this evening if I'm calling.
Oh, good enough. Yeah, that was wondering if that was one of the reasons so that we could actually, you know, clarify. It sounds a little, you know.
There'll be plenty of time, Saturday or Sunday. I'm sure we'll run into one another at one or all of these different events.
What's your thought about this whole process? I know you have, maybe not don't have it in your right in front of you, but you're familiar with what we're trying to do, which is ask people who to sign claims against the city, which have then been rejected for sleep deprivation, and then taking the city officials, or specifically the police officers and rangers, to small claims court.
Well, I think it's a fine idea, but my suggestion would be is that you get one test case, one very good test case that has, you know, good facts make good law. And I don't see anything wrong with, generally speaking, the cases you cited that put evaluation on the loss of a night's sleep. I think there's probably some substance to, what those court cases said and probably would be considered by a small claims court judge. But my recommendation would be is to find somebody who has a very strong case and who has had sleep deprivation by the police department, the park rangers, has had some other complaint that they filed a claim against the city with, and that claim has been rejected or has been, you know, rejected of hand. And then take that small claims court. If you can set a precedent with some small claims court judge saying, you know what, I think that this is a well-taken claim. I think that the valuation is accurate. I'm going to award this person $25 for, you know, the deprivation of their sleep resulting from a police officer or park ranger waking them up in the middle of the night. If that's what you're looking to do, then I think it's absolutely appropriate that it be heard by the small claims court.
Well, let's talk more about this and get some more thoughts, perhaps, as we develop.
As I say, better than casting too wide a net and trying to be too ambitious about getting a whole bunch of people doing it, which ultimately you could if you got one good test case. That was my concern, my problem with the Peace Camp 2010 prosecutions that dragged on the court for so long. They never generated a really good fact pattern. We had an opportunity, as you know, with the Gary Johnston case to really get great facts before the court so that at some point up the line, they could have made determinations about necessity to defenses, about the right to sleep, about the right to sleep as a constitutional right, those kinds of things. But unfortunately, they were never developed factually in the context of those cases, and I think that's partially due to Gary's unwillingness to testify, and that certainly is right, and the way the cases were presented. So it's really important to get good facts in a case so they can be used more broadly when you do get a good decision.
Steve, you're a writer for Street Spirit, which I've been, you know, occasionally agree and crazily disagree. You know, let's leave it here. I'd ask you more questions. Since I have limited time, I've got to kind of bluster my way through the end of the show or actually zip through a number of things. So thank you for calling in. Again, your number is
866-6078. People can call me. We are still fielding any legal questions people have, and I think that one thing we're going to be doing now is, as a result of the problems we've had, filing this a stay away action against the city on behalf of homeless folks. We've run into some problems with standing. I think what I'm going to do now is to have people actually enroll as participants in the Homeless Persons Legal Assistance Project, and that is one way to get around standing issues in future cases. So there are things happening.
Thanks, Steve, and 466-6078 if you want to reach the Homeless Legal Persons Assistance Project. Thanks, Steve.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Actually, small claims court, they don't establish precedents. I'm not sure what Steve is talking about there. But, you know, maybe I'll learn more as I go deeper into this. There's always been a variety of approaches that we have been trying. Those of us who are using legal approaches as one prong of our strategy, often the strategy is to flood the courts with cases in order to make it clear to prosecution and police and even public defenders that they're not simply going to plea bargain away or hide from this whole issue, but they're going to insist on it being going through the courts even if the results are negative. And of course, sometimes it's easier for people who are outside to do that. Often it's harder. It really depends on the situation and how much solidarity is invoked. I don't think it's a matter of getting a successful, good test case, but I think that's always very nice if you can find one. But in the meantime, the threat of more pressure is, I think, has its impact not just on the courts, but upon other social service agencies. So, for example, our massive attack on the issue in the late 80s and early 90s produced essentially the Homeless Community Resource Center and what's called the Back 40 Toleration Zone, where there was essentially tolerated campground for 3 years back there. And I think that came from activism. That came from activism that didn't wait for the best case, that didn't, you know, insist on that sort of thing, but actually started throwing everything we could at them, whether it involving all-night vigils, involving theatrical demonstrations, involving confrontations with the mayor and other authorities. But again, you know, times are different, times change, people's willingness to do these things change too. Those days, there are a lot of people who are willing to get arrested. These days, they tend to throw weird shit at you. I mean, I didn't really have any intention of getting arrested when I walked into the Santa Cruz 115 or 75 River Street building back during the Occupy movement. And 2 months later, I found I was facing the most serious charges of my life for simply having walked in as a reporter. These are more difficult and dangerous times, and yet it doesn't mean the old tactics don't have some use. So I'm still pondering that stuff, and I will continue to ponder and share my ponderosing with you in the subsequent shows. I've got a lot of audio to play, but I've got like 5 minutes left in the show. Uncle Dennis should be coming in shortly with From the Cream to the Dregs. I did kind of want to pass on some of the what have I got to pass on here? I think I'm looking through, hustling through my notes here. We had a very, I thought, kind of active Huff meeting. Huff has tumultuous meetings. We often, you know, a lot of crosstalk, a lot of sometimes angry interactions between Huff members, a lot of disagreements. We came up with several resolutions in the Huff meeting. I believe one of those resolutions had to do with we support the ban. It's kind of an obvious one on the military dispersal of equipment that the. It's a very weak ban. We want a much stronger ban, but we support it insofar as it goes that the Obama regime proposed, I guess, on Tuesday or Wednesday. We ask that in light of that, the City Council revisit the whole issue of the Bearcat armored vehicle and also examine all contracts with public and private contractors that the police department has had in the last 2 years. I have sent a renewed Public Records Act request to the city requesting this. There's no legal reason why they shouldn't be giving us this, and there's no legal right they have to deny it to us. And we have had some success in the parking ban situation, because while we are still not being told what the process is, what the proper procedure is, whether this issue is the issue of the 24-hour parking ban on those three streets near the homeless lack of services center, where it's going, we have been told, and I don't know how accurate it is, by Councilmember Posner, and to some extent confirmed by Mayor Lane, who I talked to yesterday, both of them, that this issue has been to some extent put on hold, which means that those who are going to have their parking places stolen from them by the city, and that includes the whole community, but most particularly disabled and poor and homeless people, that won't be happening for a little while at least. But that doesn't satisfy me, obviously. I mean, and also it's, you know, this is a small, tiny chunk of a struggle. It's just a useful focal point for just exposing the kind of crap that these authorities think they can get away with. So I'm going to be talking more about this on Sunday. I've sent more Public Records Act requests. I wanted to find out, as you may have heard Pat Colby talk about this when she called in, there is an email came to light that Bren Lehrer, the city administrator, gave out, where she advised Marlon Granlin, who's the parking permit guy, she advised him not to,